Do you want to introduce your friend to me, Kara?
It's my cousin Lauren.
Lauren. Hi, Lauren. I'm Pastor Pam. I'm glad you're here. Are there any foods that you really hate? Something your mom says, oh, we're going to have, and you're going, oh, not that. You'll eat broccoli and green beans and cauliflower and, wow, you're really good. Two of my kids, when they were little, one of them really would eat anything that I gave her except peaches. She didn't like peaches. And one of my other kids, when she was little, she wouldn't eat bananas. She thought they were horrible. But they kept trying them. And now the one that didn't like peaches loves almost everything, including peaches. And the one that didn't like bananas, she's tried them a bunch of times over the years. She still doesn't like bananas. But one of the things I think that helps us think about is that things that we didn't used to like, we might like them as we get older. So if you, maybe there's a song you didn't like, but it kind of grows on you after a while. Or there was a food that you didn't like when you were a kid, but you tried it when you're older, and you might like it. You might say, oh, that's not so bad. And it might even be, you know, the best of some alternatives. Like, I don't like that one or that one, but I'll eat that one. So you might keep trying. And in the book of Matthew, there's a story told about Jesus. And you've probably heard that Jesus healed a lot of people, and he usually did it by touching them and healing whatever sickness that they had. But a important army man, a centurion, he's like an army captain, he came to Jesus and said, my servant is deathly ill, and I need you to cure him, please. And Jesus said, okay, I'll come to your house. And the centurion said, no. If you just say it, it will happen. And Jesus had never done it that way. But Jesus said, okay. And Jesus said that the man was healed, and he was healed, even though he was a long way away from where they were. Even Jesus can be surprised by a new thing, a new way to do things, a new food. So keep trying. You might find that the kid that you thought was mean, maybe if you continue to be friendly to them, say hi to them, you might find one day that maybe they were mean because they were scared or something bad was going on in their life, and that deep down they're really kind of nice and they're thankful that you say hi to them. So I think we need to keep trying things and keep being open to new possibilities, even if we don't think we like them. All right? Anything either of you want to share? No. Let's make a circle and say a prayer. Holy God, we thank you for these children. We thank you that you sent Jesus to live among us and show us new ways to live and to love all people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And there are new pencils, and there's Play-Doh if you want to take something fun with you, and there's stickers and things there. Would you pray with me? Generous provider, steadfast lover, O God, we sing your praise. We worship you and teach our children to love and honor you above all. Help us be faithful. Guide us to listen and obey. We know that all our blessings come from you. We thank you. Keep us grateful. Jesus, teacher, Son of Man, you heal our bones, our cancers, and our broken hearts, and we thank you. You make us whole after great loss, and we bless the world with our new lives. Help us hear. Help us see new possibilities, new hopes, new love. Help us know your presence. Help us build what you see. Spirit, Holy Ghost, breathe in us grand futures, broad peace, just abundance, and great love. We pray all this and the silent prayers of our hearts in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And from the Gospel of John, the first chapter, verses 43 to 51. The next day Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, Follow me. Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth. Nathanael said to him, Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Philip said to him, Come and see. When Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, he said of him, Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. Nathanael asked him, Where did you get to know me? Jesus answered, I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you. Nathanael replied, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Jesus answered, Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these. And then he said to him, Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Here ends the reading from the first chapter of John. My message this day is called You Will See. We will be sharing something in a moment, so take a calming breath. Bachman Turner Overdrive saying, You ain't seen nothing yet. That's what Jesus's command, his comment, sounds like to me in the first chapter of John. Nathanael, you are amazed that I know you thoroughly at first meeting. You will see greater things than these. As always, there are insider understandings that might make this clearer. Jesus saw Nathanael coming towards him and declared, Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. Their ancestor Jacob was Isaac's son, Abraham's grandson. Jacob was a trickster, getting his way over his father, his brother, and his father-in-law through trickery. After he wrestled with God or an angel at the creek Jabbok, Jacob was renamed Israel, which means strives with God. So the very first Israelite was a tricky fellow. Thus Jesus looked at Nathanael and said, Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. Then that honest man announced Jesus as the Son of God, the King of all Israel. Jesus stayed with his comparisons to Jacob. As Jacob was first traveling from home, he dreamed of a ladder or ramp with angels going up and down between earth and heaven. We are climbing Jacob's ladder. This passage ends with Jesus stating, Very truly, I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Jesus will be the ladder connecting earth and heaven, and they will see it. Oh yes, and that fig tree? Fig trees were associated with abundance. Good things were just beginning. Where have you witnessed abundance? Have good things happened? Remarkable, astounding, persuasive things happened in your faith journey? Was there a Sunday school teacher who opened your eyes? Was there a family member who became the godly father or the good shepherd in your life? Did you hear from Jesus at a critical moment in your journey? If you will, we are going to share with just one person. Please look around and figure out with whom you will share
that short story, that little memory about your faith journey. But first, we will pray silently for just 1 minute. I'll watch my watch. I won't leave you pray too long. Please ask God what and how to share. In the Old Testament lesson that John read from 1 Samuel 3, the old priest Eli taught Samuel to listen for God's voice. Speak, for your servant is listening. Eli taught Samuel to believe and obey. Do we expect God to speak? Do we expect God to change us, to change the world? Most of you now have a different story in mind after your prayer, because God still speaks. God still answers prayers. Please move if you need to and share a tiny bit of your faith journey with just one other person, please. if we could wrap it up. I think most people are about done now. You can even stay in the wrong seat if you like. There's no rules about that. Thank you for praying and listening and sharing. And if it did not work exactly the way you wanted it, remember Samuel took a few tries and some advice before he got the hang of it. And he was a great patriarch of us. It can take us a while, even a lifetime, to see and believe. You ain't seen nothing yet. What if Jesus said to you, you will see greater things than these? Maybe if you look back over your life, you've already seen greater things. Great wisdom from a small child's mouth. Second chances, a miracle where none should have appeared. You will see greater things than these. Back in the time of Jesus, everyone knew their place, their station in life. If you were born into a priestly family, you could study and become a priest like Eli's sons. If your family fished, then you would likely fish your whole life or smoke the fish your husband caught. You would become a king only if your daddy was a king. But Jesus did not come to follow human rules and traditions, did he? If the way we always did things was fine, he would not have needed to teach and correct, heal and forgive. You will see greater things than these. In the Gospel of John, his first miracle was at a wedding where the wine had run out. Mother Mary gave him a nudge, and he turned gallons of water into the finest wine. Woodbridge, White Truck, or Boone's Farm would have worked, but the wine steward wondered who had brought out the good stuff after everyone was drunk. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good, Psalm 34. When Jesus walked into the sacred temple at Jerusalem, you might expect the country bumpkin to be in awe of the great building or all those important people. No, he upended tables and cracked a whip to drive out the animal sellers and the money changers. When someone questioned his authority for that, he assured them that when the temple was completely destroyed, he would raise it up again in 3 days. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that prediction. You will see greater things than these. In John 4, Jesus sat by a Samaritan well in the heat of the day when a woman with a shameful track record came to draw water. If the world ever considered you a worthless sinner, maybe you took hope in her story. We still can. She was the outcast's outcast. Jesus knew all about her, yet went home with her to teach and to save her household and her community. He offered her living water and said, "Those who drink the living water will never again be thirsty." After hearing the story of his acceptance and compassion for this disgraced woman, are you convinced? Can you begin to imagine that you or your child or that horrible neighbor might be a beloved child worth saving, worth loving? Why do we tell these Jesus stories over and over? Why do we ask what Jesus really said, what Jesus really did? Because our fragile beliefs need help. We need to know that Jesus knew all about the honesty of Nathanael before they ever met. We need to know that Jesus knew Peter was brash and unreliable and still trusted him to build his church. Because no matter how nice we look, how terrific our friends think we might be, we know the truth. And we need to hear often that Jesus loved and used the unqualified, the imperfect, to build an empire of justice, mercy, peace, and love. Because he called his shots,
we can trust him. Because our ancestors told the Jesus stories to their grandchildren, and they did the same, we know of those miraculous healings, the great feasts, the surprising teachings, and the boundless love. We can trust. We can follow. We can believe. Amen.